It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show, we always enjoyed talking to him when he was here the first time, and now he's back for an encore. It is Dallas Cowboys running back, Alfred Morris. How you doing, Alfred?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing awesome. And so you're out here, you got the call, you're in the mix now, and you're enjoying Ventura and Oxnard weather. I'm assuming you're back in the DF dub when they called you, right?
I was. Yeah, I was on 35. I was on 35 driving to go work out. I work way down Midlothian. I stay up by Denton, so
okay,
it's like an hour plus drive for me. But I like the gym outlet, so they do some good training. Actually, New Orleans called me first, and he was like, it was like probably like 11 or so. He's like, hey, can you make a 12:20 flight? I'm like, I can try. I was like, I need to get my cleats. So my wife met me like off of 35, dropped my cleats off. I was able to shoot over to Love and make a flight. So I work out for, I get to New Orleans, I do a workout, and right after my workout, Dallas calls. So it's kind of like, he's like, you don't have to work out. We just want to bring you in. We're going to sign you. You know, and it's like, all right, now I have a choice to make. So they actually called me while I was in New Orleans.
Wow. So what is that like? Because I know for me, like if I'm at the barbershop and I go to the same person all the time and then I switch up at the last minute, I feel guilty. Like, and so when you're taking the call from the Cowboys, are the Saints looking at you going, bro, what?
I don't even think they knew about it, honestly. I thought they did. That's not my job. But so I thought they knew what was going on. So it was either make a decision, stay in New Orleans or take off and go to Dallas. So, but even before that, Dallas even became an option. I'm a man of faith, so I felt like the Lord was like, go back to Dallas. And I was like, you sure about that? And he's like, yeah, go back. And I was like, all right. So I'm going to be obedient. And I was like, when the Dallas option comes, I'll take it. But in the midst of it, when I did have the opportunity to either stay in New Orleans, I fought myself really hard to want to just stay in New Orleans and just see what happens there. Because the previous year, New Orleans reached out to me to bring me in for workout, and I turned it down. And this year, I kind of wanted to turn it down again. But for whatever reason, I was like, you know what? Let's go. You know, I'll go do it. And it was a good workout. And so I just made the decision to be obedient to come to Dallas. But I don't feel guilty because this, at the end of the day, it is a business. And I feel like you have to do what's in your best interest. I'm sure guys kind of at the last minute pulling out, going to a different team, the times they've done that, a lot less from a time when teams say like, hey, yeah, we're bringing somebody, we're gonna cut you because we're bringing this other guy in. You know, that's just the, you know, the nature of the business that we're in. You know, there's no loyalty, and I think that's the side that fans don't really get to see, the dirty, you know, like it's kind of like going to butcher. You see those nice cuts out on display, but you don't see them butchering that cow, all the blood, all the, you know, all the guts and stuff. Yeah, after, like, you don't see that part of it, and that's sometimes, I think that's why it's hard for fans to understand why a guy will leave and go somewhere else, or, you know, vice versa. It's
sure.
It's a dirty business.
I mean that facetiously, you know, sarcastically. That no team has any right to be butthurt, or you have no reason to feel guilty. I was just curious if they were sitting there going, hey, what do you think? You're going to sign? And you're like, hey, man, I got to go. And God, you know, if God was leading you to the Cowboys, it's an indication God loves good offensive line play. look at how he healed Travis Frederick. He wanted him to be back. So being a running back and being able to choose different places to go, how impactful is that, just knowing that this offensive line is ridiculous?
It's amazing. You know, I've ran by behind some decent old linemen. I ran behind some pretty bad old linemen, but I love them all the same. They do a great job. They keep defenders off of us, and I love that. And then you have what is some deemed the best old line in the business. You know, that's, you kind of lick your chops at that. You know, it's like, man, you can't, like, you might not have get a chance to run behind this O-line, you know. So it's been and they're all awesome, you know, from Travis to Zach to Tyron to LC, you know, all of the guys. They're just amazing. So the great personality, work their butt off, you know. So I really appreciate them.
How much time do you put in researching or talking to your agent about what the offensive system is that you're going to go to? Does that matter to you as much?
No, it doesn't. I feel like I can fit into basically any offense. I know I've had a lot of success in, like, zone-type offenses, but in college I was a Pro I. That's what we ran. Our main play was Pyro. We ran 36-37 Pyro, which was basically a full sale. I can basically fit in any offense, and even if the team wants to go to a bunch of gun run stuff, I can do that as well. So I really don't even factor that in. It's more so just chance, opportunity, just looking at the depth chart, seeing, like, what are you competing against. Like, oh, is there a chance? Like, a lot of times it's not competing against the players, it's competing against the politics of it. So, like, say, okay, they have a guy they have solidified, then they have another guy they pay decent money, not going to let that $4 or $5 million sit on the side, the sideline, whether you're better than that person or not. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you're just like, man, I'll be competing for like 3 or 4, basically, you know, instead of trying to compete for snaps, getting on the field, you know, regardless what scheme they use. Like, oh, we use multiple backs for this. It really doesn't matter, because sometimes you're competing against the politics of the game.
Right.
And you have to take that into account, you know. So, and I think that's the interesting part. And that's another side that a lot of fans and people who are not in those rooms really see that aspect of it.
So how different is this scheme now than it was when you were here? Is it a twin? Is it identical? Has nothing changed? Or is it different at all?
There are differences. But, I mean, honestly, there's nothing new under the sun. How many times can rewrite anything? It's an offense, offense, a defense is defense. You don't get it. There's only certain plays you can run, whether it's zone, whether it's, you know, power, you know, guts, whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. It's still the same. Call it something different. You put a different name on it, put a different number on it. Some teams call it 13, other teams call it 23, some teams call it 30, some, you know, it could be 90s. It really doesn't matter. It's the same thing, no matter what offense I've been in. There's little nuances that change from team to team, from scheme to scheme, that kind of make it what they want to, you know, even some of our blocking schemes and things. West Coast offense is all lot different. Say when I was with Shanahan, they're a lot different, like our front IDs compared to, so say it's like here you can have like an oversync, so it just basically means that there's the Sam is in the ball in the box, the wheel is on the ball, so it's succinct, you know, over front. And I think that's pretty elementary if you know anything about football. But then And the West Coast, it's 47s, it's 49s, it's 59s, it's, you know, it's numbers compared to words. So it's the same thing. It just looks, it's just they serve it a little differently, you know, but it's the same thing. So there's not many differences. Offense is offense, but there's a little nuances that you have to learn about this scheme that they're running. So
it seems like some of the nuances pre-snap, like how can we make it to where it's not so predictable, where the defense doesn't know what's coming? And have you ever felt like that here or anywhere else where, you know, maybe just a game at a time, but where you're like, man, they know exactly what we're doing?
Yes, plenty of times in Washington, literally they would be calling out like, they're running left, and I don't show it, but in my head I'm like, how in the world they know we're actually running left? And they're like, confident. It's not like they're running left, I think. You know, it's like they're running left, and I'm like, they're going this way, and I'd be like, son of a gun, like, how do they know that? You know, like, so I have experienced that, and it's kind of sucks, and it kind of like, it's almost more like, oh man, here we go, you know, like, this is probably gonna be a bad play. But sometimes you can use that against guys as well, because they overplay it, and then you find that's where zone comes in. It's really amazing, because if guys overplay it, that's all you're doing. You're trying to create zone. You're trying to get people out of their gaps. Sound defenses are gap sound defenses. If you can get one person out of the gap, especially running zone scheme, you have a win. You know, that is a positive game. So that's what you want. You want people to get displaced so they kind of know it's coming. It kind of helps, but usually it doesn't. But like, it helps good, when they don't know where it's at, where the ball is coming. So
we're talking Alfred Morris here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So can you kind of describe what Dak Mania was like? Because you were here for his rookie year.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking about all that? Because you've seen how hard this game is on rookies.
Yeah. I was excited for him. Even before he got the start, I actually was talking. I just saw things in him that, I don't know, just he was mature beyond his age. You know, like most rookies come in, it can be immature at times. They don't really know, but he just seemed like he got it. And I just felt him like, man, like this kid's going to be something. He can be something special. And I always tell him, like, man, like, keep working hard. Don't ever, you know, get comfortable. It's like complacency. Once complacency set in, your fall is going to start. It's like, don't ever get complacent. Work hard. You know, keep driving. And I would have these little talks. I don't even know if he remembers this, you know, but I was like, because I lost. Lockers was next to each other, and I took most of my snaps with him, because you know, he was running the second team because Romo was here still. And so I kind of like, we would have conversations a lot, like near the lockers and, you know, in huddles and stuff like that. So I just saw he's still very mature, and I can tell he's still working on his game. And I'm sure if you ask him if he's where he wanted to be, he'll probably tell you no. You know, it's always room for improvement. You always want to get better. So, but I just see him. He's still the same kid. You know, he's still working hard. He's still he's out there. I just love watching him work, honestly. So,
was there any surprise at all? I mean, because obviously, you know, your locker's next to him. You're not expecting him to play as a rookie. There's Tony Romo here. And then the injury happens.
I actually expected him to play.
You did?
It was a feel thing. And I just was like, man, this kid's going to play this year. Like, he's going to do really well, too. So that was a little different. But it was more so just I felt it. You know, I couldn't say, like, he's going to play because X, Y, Z. I was like, this kid's going to play. And that's what I just thought it was like, maybe I should like kind of just try to impart some, you know, wisdom into him while I can. Did he receive it? I don't know, you know, but I like, but he's still the same Dak to me. I mean, I think he's improved on the field as well, but I, like I said, I don't think he would say I'm where I want to be, because we're always trying to get better. You know, there's right. no in between. There's no gray air. It's like, oh, I'm stagnant. No, no, you're getting better, you're getting worse. That's kind of like a saying around the league. But I knew he was going to play without a doubt. So whatever, I just felt it, and I was like, this is going to play. So let me try to like just, you know, just tick away at him little by little and just see if he can get some of this stuff. But like I said, he was always very mature and just well-spoken, and he just handled himself like a veteran. So I can only imagine him in, you know, 2-3 more years. It's going to be amazing to watch. So I'm excited for him still.
Yeah.
So what is your relationship like with Zeke, and have you talked to him since you've been here?
No, I haven't talked to Zeke at all. I mean, I don't talk to many guys. I Doug Ballman, for instance, we played Pop Warner, and I mean, he's not retired, but he's kind of retired now. But I don't even call and talk to him. So I know that the season is kind of can be stressful. It's a lot on this, a lot on your plate. So I try to leave guys alone, if I'm being honest. So if I see you in off season, that's a different story. But during the season, I don't bother you. And then even now, I'm sure with the contract negotiations, and I'm sure he wants to be on the field, but he also wants to, you know, kind of protect his future, protect his value moving forward. So he has to make, you know, hard decisions. And that's tough. Sometimes we have to make hard decisions if we feel that's what's the right thing to do. What is he feeling? I don't know, but I will not even bother. I wouldn't even, you know, text or reach out to him, just because I can only imagine what's going through his head and what he's dealing with. So I wouldn't want to add to any of that stuff. And so I leave it be, and that's where it's going to be. So
yeah, what do you make of just the devaluation of the running back position throughout the game?
It all goes full circle. I mean, this is not new. You know, I remember back in the day when I was, you know, young, and before I even got to college and stuff, like when Adrian Peterson had the $100 million contract and things like that. It all goes through. There's certain positions that stay valuable. They value all the time. Quarterbacks, you know, left tackles, D tackle. You want to pass rush you because you want to get the ball. The ball is important in this game. So when you have guys like that, they're always going to be value. But every other position, it always kind of goes in circles. You have safety sometimes get paid, and then sometimes it's the, you know, the other D lineman that maybe not the sack monsters, but maybe it's a hole plugger. Then you have receivers getting paid at times, and it's like the centers and the guards, you know, and just like kind of the running backs, and it just goes. Eventually, it's going to come back around. You know, it goes full circle, and eventually will be value the way we should be once again. I think it's slowly kind of ticking there, but it's kind of like the market. It might, you think it's going to happen, it's like, damn, it drops, but eventually it's going to go back. Eventually they're going to revalue us, and I think that's really important. And I think some of these guys doing what they're doing, you know, to like, hey, we're valuable, you know, like pay us what we're worth. I think them doing that is like, even if they don't receive the benefits, it's like, say today, but years down the road, the future, the guys who are still in college or maybe even high school will benefit from what they're doing today. So I'm thankful. So I mean, my time would be gone at some point. You know, I can't play this game forever, but I'm thankful for some of these guys and what they're doing to set up for the future to come, to revalue the running back.
Not to put it too far in the future, but where do you see yourself doing in 10 years?
10 years? I don't know. I'm going to be a businessman. So another thing, I didn't go to school for business. I was a kinesiology major, basically. And it wasn't easy. A lot of people was like, oh, you leave, like, oh, pee. Like, no, don't insult my major. Like, my, yeah. It was hard. It was a lot of work. And I enjoyed it. I love the human body. That's a whole nother story. But I think in 10 years I'll be in the business world. That's nothing. I feel the Lord told me I was going to be doing business. And I'm like, I don't know nothing about business. You know, I don't know anything about the business world. But I've had so many people pour into me. Last 3 or 4 years really poured business knowledge into me. And I appreciate it. And one more specifically is actually a former NFL player, so I don't think he wants to be known, so I'm gonna just leave it with that alone. But he's been pouring a lot into me. I actually met him at the NFL Business Academy, which is a program that the NFL puts on that you can apply for. I mean, you don't have to reply, it's not like gonna decline you,
right?
But it's a program that they offer, and I did it 1 year. I met him there, and we kind of built a relationship from there. He's just been pouring so much into me, so I'm really thankful, because someone with that vast knowledge in business world, people charge, they charge by the hour. You know, like I know a guy, a player who charged. He does a lot of Dunkin' Donuts and some other franchises. He has quite a few. He charges for him to consult you $2,500 an hour.
Man.
Kid you not. Yeah. And people pay it.
That's
like,
good scratch.
And his thing, he was like, if they don't want to pay it, that's fine. He's like, but I feel like that's one of the things, knowing your worth. He know right. What his knowledge is worth. He know, like, the skin he has in the game, what he's learned. And he's like, I can save you from the pitfalls, but if it's, it depends if it's valuable to you or not. So, and I think that's, that can relate to anything. Like, know your worth, you know, and I think that goes back to these running backs and some of them sitting out and doing what they feel like they have to do is knowing their worth. Like, this is what I'm worth. If you're not willing to pay for that, that's okay. Somebody else will, you know, and yeah. I think that kind of goes hand in hand. So, anyways, but yeah, so business. Yeah.
That's enlightening stuff. He's a running back, a good dude, and a future businessman. Alfred, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There he goes.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.